Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Bhav 4 chapter 29 verse 51 Sa
Sa
Vai Priyatama
Priyatama
Shatma
Yato
Yato Na
Vaya
Vaya
Maro
Api
Iti
Veda
Veda
Sarvapriyatamascha ma
Yato
na vayam anto
Yato na vayam anto
Iti veda sarvai vidvan
Iti veda sarvai vidvan
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Sarvapriyatamascha
Sarvapriyatamascha
Yato na vayam anto api
Yato na vayam anto api
Iti veda
sa vai vidvan
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Samai priyatamascatman
Samai priyatamascatman
Yato na vayam manvapi
Yato na vayam manvapi
Iti veda sa vai vidvan
Iti veda sa vai vidvan
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Yo vidvan sa guru hari
Sāve priyatamascātmā
Yato
na vayam manvapi
Iti
veda sa vai vidvān
Yo vidvān sa guru hari
Yo vidvān sa guru hari Sāve priyatamascātmā
Yato
na vayam manvapi
Iti
veda sa vai vidvān
One who is engaged in devotional service and has not the least fear in material existence because the Supreme Personality of God is the super soul and the friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated, and one thus educated can become spiritual master of the world. One who is actually a bona fide spiritual master represents Krishna is not different from Krishna. Purport to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says Sakshatri Kvena Samasta Shastara Pristata Bhavyate. The spiritual master is described in every scripture as a representative of the Supreme Personality. Spiritual master is accepted as identical with the Supreme Personality of God because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. The purport is that both the super soul and the individual soul are very dear to everyone. Everyone loves himself, and when he becomes more advanced, he loves the super soul also. A person who is self-realized does not recommend the worship of anyone but the super soul. He knows that to worship the Supreme Personality of God is easier than to worship various demigods under the impulse of lust and desire for material enjoyment. The devotee is therefore always engaged in loving devotional service to the Lord. Such a person is a guru, Padma Brahmana said. Even a Brahmana Even if a Brahmin is very learned in Vedic literature, knows six occupational duties of a Brahmin, he cannot become a guru or a spiritual master unless he's a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, if one is born in the family of dog eaters but is a pure devotee of the Lord, can become a spiritual master. The conclusion is that one cannot become a spiritual master unless he's a pure devotee of the Lord. One who is a spiritual master in accordance with the above description of devotional service to be understood as the Supreme Personality of God, the person present. According to the words mentioned here, consulting a bona fide spiritual master means consulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. One should therefore take shelter of such a bona fide spiritual master. Success in life means accepting a spiritual master with no spiritual master, only Supreme Beloved Personality. One should worship the confidential devotion of the Lord. Translation, the great sage already continued, O great personality, ever reply properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another iteration that is accepted by as many persons as very confidential. Purport Sri Narada Muni is personally acting spiritual master, King Parishman, it was Narada Muni's intention that through his instructions the king would immediately give up all engagements and root of activity to take the devotional service. However, although the king understood everything, he was still not prepared to give up his engagements. As the following verses will show, the king was confidently sending for his sons, who went away from home executing austerities and penances. After their return, he would entrust his kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him, but when the spiritual master indicates they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialism and way of life through activity is not at all beneficial. Actually, one should take the devotional service in the beginning of life as per Lala Maharaj advised, Komara Acharya Pragyo Dharma Bhagavatam. According to all the instructions of the Vedas, we can understand that unless one takes the Krishna consciousness, devotional service is simply wasting his time, engaging in the fruit of activities of material existence. Narada Muni therefore decided to relate another allegory to the king so he might be induced to give up family life within material existence. One who's engaged in devotional service has not the least fear of material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of God is a super soul friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated, and one thus educated can become a spiritual master of the world. One who is actually an actual bona fide spiritual master representative of Krishna is not from Krishna. The great sage Narada Muni continued, O great personality, ever reply properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saying the person is very confidential. So here it says that one who knows the Atma and the Supreme Lord actually knows everything. What is that knowledge? That knowledge, of course, is mentioned in the scriptures. And because there is some confusion, the acharyas clarify what that knowledge is. So that is knowledge of Atma and knowledge of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, of course, is the dearest Atma. And he is the one that we must know. If we only know the Atma, then we end up with Brahman realization. So we must know the Supreme Lord. And if we get that knowledge, then that is called real knowledge. Here it says that there is no fear at all. So this indicates that one is free from the process of birth and death in the material world. This, of course, is a secondary effect of bhakti itself and of knowing the Lord. But for people in the material world, it's some sort of incentive. So such a person who has this knowledge is called vidvan, or very learned, and such a person he is called guru. for honey. He is also called the Supreme Lord. So obviously we know that Jiva cannot be the Supreme Lord, so we cannot take it literally. So even though Vishnu Chakrapati is Sakshat Hari, that he's directly the Lord. Directly in what way? He's not completely the Supreme Lord, because a Jiva is a Jiva and Ishvara is Ishvara, and the two can never be the same. Ishvara is eternally Ishvara and Jiva is eternally Jiva. There's no question of the nature of any Jiva changing, even if one becomes a guru. So simply by becoming a guru, one does not become God suddenly. Simply by getting a name, you cannot change a person's nature. He's eternally so according to the will of the Lord that a Jiva is a Jiva. What does it mean then that he is Hari? One who is knowledgeable about the Lord, he is the one who is Supreme Lord. He's called Hari. That does not mean that he becomes something else. No, simply he has the knowledge of the Lord. So it's the knowledge which is significant. If we understand the nature of the Supreme Lord, the nature of the Jiva, and the nature of bhakti, etc., that is called knowledge. So a person who has that knowledge, he is called the Supreme Lord because he is a person who can educate others to understand about the Supreme Lord. In other words, he is always the Jiva, but he gets the privilege of instructing about the Supreme Lord to other Jivas. And by that, of course, other Jivas also get knowledge of the Supreme Lord. He's an instructor about the Supreme Lord, and in that sense, non-different from the Supreme Lord, because he gives instructions about him, how to attain and how to realize the Supreme Lord. And by those instructions, then one can realize the Lord. One can never become the Lord, but one can realize the Lord. Ultimately we know that realization of the Lord comes from ultimately the mercy of the Lord. But the instructions are generally given by devotees, not the Supreme Lord. So we have scripture imparted by devotees, and through sadhu sangha one develops devotional service. And so what do the devotees do? They give instructions from scripture, they give knowledge by which a person can advance. That knowledge is mercy of the Lord. To impart that knowledge to another person is actually imparting the mercy of the Lord. So, Prabhupada said that the guru is the via medium, transparent via medium. So what this means is that a real teacher will simply communicate the teachings about the Supreme Lord, which ultimately is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the devotees are conductors of the Lord's mercy. That's all. The bhakti shakti of the Lord is given to the devotees of the Lord, and they can preach that throughout the world. So they represent the Lord. And other people don't represent the Lord because they're not devotees. The Lord is merciful to devotees. He's not merciful to karmas and gyanis and other people. So therefore, that the devotees are distinguished from others, and therefore it is said they are Hari, because they represent the Supreme Lord. Only in this sense they represent the Lord can they be called Hari, and nothing else. What is that position of Guru? It is not simply a title, it is a function. Anyone who imparts the instructions of the Lord becomes Guru. He has got some power. It is not that magically by becoming a Guru suddenly you get some special power. No. Whatever you instruct, that is the power you have, whether you are called Guru or not called Guru. So in that sense, any instructor is also Sakshat Hari. So the Diksha Guru as such is not in a special position. Simply because he's a Diksha Guru and gives a Diksha, therefore he's God and everybody else is not God. No. Anyone who gives instructions also is giving the scriptures, so therefore he's representing the Supreme Lord. So he's in the same position. There's no difference. Okay? So either of them are Vidvan. They are knowledgeable. They understand the Lord and they give the knowledge of the Lord. Of course, that knowledge can be represented on different levels. We have knowledge of scripture, which is generally how devotees are defined in Vaini Bhakti. According to Uttama, he has great knowledge, and Madhyamani has little knowledge, and Komala very little knowledge, and therefore they cannot convince others, whereas the Uttamas can. So in terms of knowledge, therefore, the Uttama in Vaini Bhakti is considered better in terms of being learned, and therefore more qualified as guru. But then, of course, there is knowledge in another sense, and that is realization. That means that one progresses and gradually can see the Lord directly in bhava and prema. Now the unfortunate position of that is, in terms of other people, is that such a person generally does not instruct. So the instruction is given by those who are on that lower level. They're the ones that impart knowledge. Those on the higher level have lost communication with the material world because they're communicating directly with the Supreme Lord, and they give up the body, go to the spiritual world. So they're on the verge of going to the spiritual world, so they no longer communicate with the material world. So those type of gurus or uttamadhikaris or pure devotees are very rarely seen, and if they are, they don't give instructions to anybody. Yeah? They're simply absorbed in the Lord's pastime. So, therefore, the bulk of instruction is given by people of a lesser category, those who don't have complete realization, those who have knowledge of the Supreme Lord. These are called the madhyamadhikaris. So therefore here the guru is defined in terms of vidvan, those who have knowledge of the Supreme Lord. It doesn't say realization so much as simply knowledge. But of course we know that along with advancement of devotional service there must be some sort of realization. It's not suddenly there's a realization. As one advances, one goes through different stages like Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, then bhava and prema. So all along the way there is some sort of increasing attachment and therefore realization of the Lord. But it's only at a certain point that one actually perceives the Lord directly, and that is in bhava and prema. Here simply talking about being knowledgeable of the Lord in the ordinary sense, that one is able to impart this to other persons. What does guru mean? It means he's an instructor. He gives knowledge. It's not that he gives you prema and by suddenly touching or anything like that. He imparts knowledge, the scriptural knowledge. And of course, it is very difficult to tell also what level a person is at in terms of realization. So therefore, the common way of measuring is in terms of knowledge. A person is more learned, then we can consider them a better teacher. As in universities and material knowledge. Okay, a person with a PhD is supposed to have more knowledge, and therefore is more qualified as a teacher. So that is a common platform of distinguishing in terms of knowledge and teaching. The idea, of course, is that this must be distinguished from all other types of knowledge in all other teachers. It is based upon knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Other types of knowledge are not based on the Supreme Lord. They may be based on other spiritual things or nothing spiritual at all. So therefore, those persons are excluded. They are not acceptable. That has nothing to do with the Supreme Lord. So here, the person who does have knowledge of the Supreme Lord, he is singled out and glorified, and therefore he's called Hari, the Lord. So Narada Muni was acting as the teacher of Prashnavarta. In other words, he was giving shiksha. And he gave shiksha about, of course, you're not the material body, and he also gave shiksha about Supreme Lord, who was a Jatasaka, and then in the form of bhakti, by illustrating how by Darby ultimately got instructions from the Supreme Lord and devotional service, etc. So he taught Prachnabharti, the king. Still, the king was not quite enthusiastic about switching over from Karmakanda, even though it's Narada Muni. And so therefore Narada Muni again had to tell another story, another allegorical story, in order to convince the king. So what does this illustrate? This illustrates the fact that attachment to the material world is very strong, and even if they're great devotees, even if they're Shaktivaj avatars, people may not listen, what to speak of ordinary teachers in the material world. Even if the Shaktivaj avatar like Narada Muni comes, a person may not be persuaded immediately. So this indicates a very strong attachment of people to materialism and the covering of ignorance, a very, very strong covering of ignorance, a very, very difficult to overcome. Nevertheless, Narada Muni here makes another attempt by telling the story. He sees some sort of hope in the king, so therefore he gives another story to enlighten him. So, various techniques may be used to impart knowledge. So one is to directly give the knowledge. In some cases that works, as Krishna gives to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you're not the body, whatever. In some cases, we have an indirect way of giving it through a story. So the story of Pranjana is such a thing, an allegorical story to illustrate certain things. So different methods have to be used. So the first method of allegorical story didn't work, so now Narada Muni tells another allegorical story to make the king understand. So in this way, Narada Muni is a great teacher because he's very patient and he's using various methods to make the king understand and therefore become convinced of what action to do.
Also, you said that the guru plays the karma of the disciple. So, I mean, what is this? What is the phenomena actually? Is it only for Diksha Guru? Or
yeah, who says that? Who says that?
I've heard so many times.
Yeah.
That
where does it say in scripture? Where does it say in scripture? Don't say it anymore.
The time initiation. Then the Lord accepts the disciple as good as himself. And Maharaj, there may be, because the Guru may not be bhava and prema, I mean there are most of the preachers...
Actually, bhakti destroys karma, klesha gni. Of course it is said, diksha means papasya samshaya, destruction of sin, and bestowal of divya jnana. So there's, diksha guru destroys sin, so therefore he takes your karma, you can intuit like that, or whatever. But, does that mean someone who gives shiksha does not destroy karma? No. Does Arjuna, when he gives instruction, not destroy karma? And when Krishna gives instruction to Arjuna, does it destroy karma also by giving it knowledge? So it's not just diksha that does it. So it's not that the diksha guru has the privilege of destroying karma, whereas the shiksha guru doesn't. The diksha guru's privilege is that he gives that through a mantra. And that mantra is the vijnanam and the relationship with the Lord, which helps you destroy your karma. But even if you don't get the mantra, you can destroy karma by giving other knowledge, scriptural knowledge.
So Maharaj, there are preachers who may not be at the level of bhava and prema, and they may be at lower level, and they may be instructing, and their knowledge may not be complete.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that happen? Because their knowledge may be faulty at places.
Yeah.
So So then, I mean, is it appropriate for them to still go on preaching?
Well, faulty in what sense? That they lack some knowledge? For instance, we have Ramanujacharya had 13 gurus because some of them didn't have knowledge of certain things. That means they're wrong. They're just lacking in certain knowledge. So one didn't know Prabandhas, one didn't know this, one didn't know logic, so he went to different people. But that doesn't mean they're imperfect in another sense, that they are faulty in the sense of wrong siddhanta. So there may be some lack of knowledge somewhere, but that doesn't necessarily prevent the person from preaching, as long as they're not preaching opposite something contrary to what is the actual fact.
But sometimes there may be some misconceptions.
If there are, they have to be corrected, of course. Yeah, that is not a problem.
And Maharaj, we see in
but of course, the other thing is that the basic principles are not very difficult. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Lord is there, and Jiva is there, material energy is there, and the Jiva is the servant of the Lord. That much should be clear.
Yeah.
If you have some confusion about who's a Shaktivesh avatar and who's a full avatar, whatever, that is sort of secondary.
Maharaj, for example, we see in Mahabharata there are Pandavas had so many gurus.
Mm-hmm.
And they would call them guru, somebody who taught them some vidya. So, I mean, this definition of guru is exclusively from the perspective of Vaishnavism.
Which one?
Devotion to the Supreme Lord. This definition which has been...
Well, yeah. One knows the Supreme Lord and part knowledge of the Supreme Lord, he is guru. So an obvious Vaishnava definition.
Because the word is the same, guru.
Yeah, and it means teacher in general. You have a guru for pot making or music or anything. Yeah, we say also. So yeah, there's material knowledge also on part of the teacher. It simply means a teacher, in other words. But we talk about guru, we're talking about spiritual teaching. Of course, you could have a guru for Mayavada philosophy also. So we're talking about Vaishnava guru here. So a real guru is one who can deliver you from birth and death.
Maharaj, there is this pastime which I have again heard is that the guru had a lot of disciples and he could not deliver those disciples, so he had to take another birth as a dog. And the disciples were on his body as worms which were feeding on him because he did not guide them properly.
Oh, where is that story from? Well, of course there is an obligation in one sense. Because the guru accepts the disciple and promises to deliver him. So there's an obligation, just like if someone takes up music and pays money or whatever, then the guru is supposed to teach him. If he doesn't learn anything, then he's a bad teacher and is not doing his responsibility. Of course, he should be someone qualified as a disciple, pupil, whatever. So the guru also has some sort of obligation there. Now, and if he doesn't fulfill that obligation, doesn't teach anything, then what's the use in that sense? Now, if the disciple doesn't attain perfection, that's another matter, of course. Because it's not expected that everybody is going to get perfection immediately anyway. So, therefore, the disciple will have to take another birth in the material world or whatever. But there's nothing, no fault in that also, because he continues bhakti and continues until he reaches perfection. So there's no fault on that. So the guru has a responsibility to do as much as he can and to teach. That's all. On the other hand, if the disciple does the wrong things and is hopelessly incorrigible, then the guru should reject him. If he doesn't, then he gets bad effect. He must share the sinful activities of the disciple.
Maharaj, for example, in case of Bilwa Mangala Thakur, his guru came again as the prostitute.
Yeah.
So in that case, I mean, was it guru was forced or guru out of his own causeless mercy he came again to?
I suppose causeless mercy.
Cut for the show. cutting all the matter jewelry.
Thank you.